Good to see you, church. You're better looking than I remember. Just playing. If you weren't here in the beginning of service, I'm Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. And it's my honor today to be able to bring God's Word to you. Thank you, worship team, for leading us into the throne room. It's powerful worship this morning. Amen. It's not a production, it's an experience. Amen. We don't hire people because they're great. No, we ask God, who do you have to help lead us into worship? And God brings them. Amen. Did y'all have a good week? Yeah? Who didn't have a very good week? Raise your hand. Come on. Truth. You can't tell the truth in church. What are you telling truth to? Come on now. Who didn't have a very good week? Honestly. Guess what? It's all changing right now. By the power and blood of Jesus, He's going to speak a word that's going to give you life today. That God has something great for you. That this week is over. And God's word says His joy comes in the morning. Amen. Each and every day we got to pick up our cross. Right? We got to carry it daily. But with that comes joy. So your week was bad, but this week is going to be great. Amen? You got to speak that into existence. I'm going to have a good week this week. Last week, not so fun, Lord. May you turn it around. Change it right now. Like you can. Amen. And whoever had a great week, say, keep it rolling, baby. Keep it rolling. Woo! Come on. Although in the midst of the valleys is where you find God. So don't always feel bad when you're going through a trial or tribulation. That's where God speaks to you the greatest. That's where He grows you. That's where He mentors you and He loves you. And then through that, when you learn things, God will give you something new. Amen? He'll give you a new week and you'll walk out changed. It's not always about feeling, right? We walk by our feelings, not by sight. Hallelujah. Is that right? What? It's heresy. That's heresy, Pastor Harris. You walk by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. Last week was a joyful time we had with Ken Gobb, wasn't it? Man, it's funny. But I loved how he also challenged us all of us, to be soul winners. You don't go out to be soul winners. You're always a soul winner, and then you go out, right? If we're not speaking God's truth, what are we speaking anyway? Leadership is not just words, but it's action. Leading worship is not just singing like they did before, but it's also giving. Church, it's giving. So I asked, you might have noticed if you came in the beginning here, you might have noticed that I asked the group to lead us not only into the throne room with singing, but also lead us by giving. I asked them all to give. If they're on stage and they're worshiping the King, they can also worship not only with their voices or with instruments, but with giving. Amen? That's giving. And some countries call that the fun time. CPC, the African church that we used to have over here and that are now in their own home church in Fairfax, the refugees from Central and Eastern Africa, I loved it, man. They sang this crazy song and they all danced and everybody got up and woo, and they're coming and bringing their tithes and offerings, right? And they're like, woo, this is awesome. And I loved it. It was a party, right? We don't like talking about money in church, but guess what? I don't care, right? Because it's about Him. It's about servanthood. It's about giving. God wants all of us, everything. And I'm telling you, if you give to the Lord, He asks 10% for tithe. And then sometimes He'll unction your heart, He'll speak to your heart to give more or give to another person in need, especially in the church body, that you know somebody's having a need and you know you have excess and you're holding on to it on your own, but you know you could supply that. God is going to speak to your heart because He wants you to give to that person, right? We're a family. If your family was in trouble, would you help them out? Come on, church. Would you help them out? Amen. Well, that's what we're here for, speak God's word and to help our family out and go and preach the good news. So in the month of June, here we are. And the theme is, here at First Open Bible, is all in. All in. Who's all in this morning? Woo! Yeah, half the church is all in. Hallelujah. Half y'all gonna watch us go all in. I'm excited about this theme because I believe it's the heart of God and what He wants for all His children. Why do I believe that? It's not just belief. You got to back it up with the Word of God. And the Word of God says in Matthew 22, verses 34 and 40 says, "But when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees," right? "What'd you do to my Sadducees? I'm going to go after them." "They gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing." This is Jesus. They're trying to test Him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen? All in, church. All in. All right, I want to preface this with, I don't like gambling, right? I don't like gambling. I want to be a good steward of my money, and I don't believe God likes gambling. But I got to use this. Let me ask you a question. Are you all in? Have you pushed all your chips to the middle of the table and said, "God, I am all in"? Or have you pushed most of your chips and held back a few just in case that doesn't turn out okay? Holding back just a few chips for yourself. See, the truth is, when we fold, it's not the only time that we miss out. Because if we hold out, we also miss out. God wants us all in. Amen? God's a good leader. Would you say amen to that? He knows how to lead by example, right? And Paul was a good leader, and he says this, "Follow me as I follow Christ," right? And so we know that God was a great example, and God went all in 2,000 years ago. He put all His chips on the table and said, "Here is my Son, you fallen, broken world. I love you. I am all in for you." And Jesus was wrongly accused. He was whipped, He was beaten, He was mocked, and then He hung on a cross and He died for us because God held nothing back for Himself. That's real. That's true. 1 John 4:10 says this, "This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loves us. And He sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away all of our sins." Let me speak to you right now. Whatever you walked in with today, the sinful nature that you have, the bondage that you've been in, whatever you have done, because of Christ's love, He first loved you. That can be washed away as white as snow today if you give Him all of you and you go all in. You'll be free. No more shackles, no more chains. You will be free. There'll be no more bondage. You won't lay down your head at night and let the devil just mess you up and say, "Look what you did and look who you are." It doesn't matter what you have done. It's all under the blood, but you have to go all in, church. You have to be all in. So here's my prayer for this sermon, right? I haven't even started preaching. Here's my prayer for this sermon this morning, is that you're going to have an all-in moment. I have prayed over this sermon, and I'm very excited what God has given us, but you must have an all-in moment. Can I be selfish for a moment? I cannot face my Maker and know that I did not help you go all in. Don't you do that to me. You come and let me help you go all in. Because I don't want your life wasted. Jesus died for more than that. Amen? Jesus died so you could go all in. There are people that need what is in you. It's in you. They need it. And they're dying without it. You must go all in, church. You must. Amen? My prayer is that God would reveal something to your heart and to your mind that you'd put all the pieces on the table that you might have held back. And you'd put those pieces on the table and you'd say, Lord, I'm all in. I don't need this. You know what to do better. God, I'm going to put it all on you. Ooh, I'm going to put it all in red. The blood of Jesus. I'm going to put it all in red. Just, it's all in. Are you with me, church? So I'm reading this awesome book called Hero Maker. It's by Dave Ferguson. And toward the beginning of this book that I'm reading, there's a story about basketball. I love basketball. Played since fourth grade, all the way through college. I love basketball. So it really spoke to me, and I hope it speaks to you as well. There's a man named Isaiah Thomas. He's a Hall of Famer. He was a superstar point guard, best known for leading the Detroit Pistons to two NBA championships in 1989 and 1990. So this guy, he pulls him aside and he wants to interview him. And he interviews him a while back and he says, Isaiah, what is the secret to winning an NBA championship? Thomas paused and he smiled. And he hinted that there was definitely a secret to winning a championship. And then he said this. He said, the secret of basketball is it's not about basketball. He goes on in the interview to talk about chemistry on a team. Thomas said that their team did something crazy, right? Sometimes I like doing something crazy. What about you? Now, a lot of safe people up in here. I like going crazy sometimes. Thomas said that they did something crazy, way out of the norm, that most people didn't understand. What they did is in the season, they did an in-season trade. They traded for a star, high-scoring player for an aging, less stellar performer. The key was this other player knew and understood the secret of winning. They traded Adrian Dantley. He was in it for the stats. He was in it patting his stats up, so he's going to get a big contract, and he's going to make that paper, right? He's all in it for that. And they trade him for a little-known player named Mark Aguirre. Aguirre saw his role, quote, do anything he could to make the rest of the team successful, end quote. This trade made no sense on paper. What are you doing? You want to win the NBA championship? You're giving away one of your best players for this guy? Who is this guy? He was out of the norm from what the rest of the NBA was doing. Golden State Warriors, they just won the NBA championship, right? Woo! Somebody's on, hallelujah. They got three NBA superstars. They can go to any team and be insane, awesome. But see, the Pistons understood something crazy back then that didn't make sense to the rest of the NBA, but it led to amazing results. In the middle of the season, the Pistons went on and turned their season around by making this trade. Turned it around so greatly, they went on to win the NBA championship that very same year. So Thomas ends his interview like this, and he drove home the point. He said, being the best in basketball is really all about the team. Everyone must put the team first. Then he went on to say this, lots of times on our team, you couldn't tell who the best player in the game was. See, that's the only way to win. That's the only way to win long-term. See, most people think winning basketball or any sport really is about having the best star players who score the most points and get the most rebounds and have the highest shooting percentages and have all the right stats. But the fact is, having all that does not guarantee success. They will lose. There will be another team that will rise up and beat the Golden State Warriors. How do I know that? Because that happens all the time. But to guarantee success, having real success is having players who are willing to sacrifice personal success for the sake of the team, even to the point of forfeiting their own stats. To win, you need people to forfeit their own success for the greater benefit of the team. Amen? That's why I love college basketball as well. It's all about the team. Winners play for the team. This is what winners play for the team name on the front, not the name on the back of their jersey. That's the secret to winning long haul. Jesus knew this secret. He created it. Think about this. Jesus had a team, didn't he? What do we call them? Disciples. A team of disciples. Think about these disciples. They came from different backgrounds, different social status, different personalities. They were the unlikely team. But they observed Jesus, and they did as Jesus did. And Jesus wasn't about numbers, he wasn't about stats, and he wasn't about superstars, was he? Jesus was very upfront about his desire to have his followers go all in. He knew that he had to equip them to do the incredible, the heroic, and the impossible. John 4:14-12 says this, "Most assuredly I say to you," says Jesus, "he who believes in me," raise your hand if you're a believer of Christ. Right? Pentecostals can't just raise their hand. Woo! It's like a string. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! Right? Oh. That's good. I can say that because that's me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Most assuredly, Jesus says, "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do," I believe in those works. I believe they're still for today. My Bible doesn't say that they ended. My Bible says it's going to actually get better before the end. He will do also, and here it is, blows your spiritual mind, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Jesus told his followers that he was investing in his life into them so they would do greater things than he would do. Jesus set them up to win, not just to win one, but to win for the long haul. He set all his disciples up for all generations so they could reach more people, go more places, make more disciples than he did in his 3.5 years here on earth in his earthly ministry. So what's Jesus talking about when he says greater? Thanks for asking. He's talking about size, quantity, greater numbers that we can do because he did them. Let me show you an example real quick, just of our church. We do a lot of things. We had an outreach yesterday, which was awesome. We had a whole bunch of people come out, and we gave a whole bunch of stuff away. We prayed for people, and we prayed for a little boy, and he accepted Christ right there, who was struggling in his family. He was abused, and I'm sure he was told all kinds of lies, and we got to speak truth to him, and he accepted Christ right there in our outreach. Church, that's what it's about. It's not about stuff given away. Man, we can buy anybody anything. It's about providing a physical need to open a spiritual opportunity. That's why we do what we do. But here's another thing that we do here. We do lots of stuff. I love our outreaches and our heart. That this is not a country club, right? Your 10% does not guarantee your spot on Sunday morning, right? Man, somebody sat in my spot. That ain't your spot. That's just a spot. Come on now. Creatures of habit. But we do this thing every Thanksgiving on the day. We feed people. People in need, people don't have homes, people don't have families, or just anybody. You just got to call in our office, sign up, tell me how many you have, tell Ms. Sherry how many you have, Pastor Cody, Abby, whoever answers the phone, how many you have. We'll put you down, we'll get it ready, we'll make sure we have enough food for you. You come, and we'll feed you. Now, it's not like the one sitting that Jesus did where he fed 5,000, but Jesus did say, greater works we will do, amen? So far we feed 200 plus people, right? Let's get some math. I love math. People every year for the past 9 years on Thanksgiving Day. So what does that mean? If we do this for 16 more years, including in the year right now, we will exceed 5,000 people fed. Crater works. We're just one church in one neighborhood, in one state, in one country. What if every church did their part on the team of Christ? Well, feed way more than 5,000, even in an instant. Greater works, church. God, in these days, he's going to do greater works through his Spirit-empowered church. Because teamwork makes the dream work. Right? Y'all can use that if you want. Teamwork makes the dream work. It's true. So in my office, I have a New King James Spirit-filled life study Bible. I got it when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost about 9 years ago. I went through some classes and was taught some stuff, and they gave me the Spirit-filled life study Bible. And I was studying in it about this subject, greater things, or different versions of the Bible say greater works. And it says this, in this part, even the title is ready to go. It says, Pathway to Miracles. Quote, a vital key to walking in the pathway of God's miracles is to stay available to the implications of Jesus' words here to do greater works. God does not call you to attempt to produce more, but to ask and believe him for more, greater works that he has in store for us to receive, and by his grace achieve them for us, no, for his kingdom purposes and for his glory. Keep your heart set and ready for the next advance for his kingdom. End quote. Get your heart ready, church. I'm ready, God. I'm ready for the next thing that you want to do through our church. There's people dying and they need to hear your word. There's people in need that we have something for them. Prepare us, Lord. See, Jesus understood this secret, and I'm starting to understand this now. It's a kingdom principle he set in motion 2,000 years ago. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The very first verse asks us all a question. Paul says, do you want to know the secret? It's a secret to the kingdom of God. It's a way to go all in. It's a way that we can all win. It's a secret to say we all have a part on this team. Did I say the back two rows you don't have a part? You sit in the back row, you get picked on here at church for some moment, so you know. God's going to do the first, 10 rows, everyone behind, you're not a part of this. He said, we all have a part on this team. We all are a part of this body. We're all part of this church. We all have something to contribute to God's work in his kingdom. Verse 1 says this, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. Rest of the week, please read the rest of this chapter. See, Paul goes on in this chapter to reveal the secret, and he explains it. Right? Don't do it right now. You got to read later. Follow me. Right? I see some of you. As soon as I said that, you're like, whoa, he saw me. I saw you. He goes on to say that the church has a specific design. Jesus modeled this with his disciples. It's a way in which the church was intended to work. We are a body. We are a team. Too many spectators. Too many bench warmers. Not God's design. Not God's design. God doesn't say sit and soak and get all wrinkly and be ineffective. You are part of the team. Michael Jordan won a championship because everybody thought he was going to shoot the last shot. He passed it to Steve Kerr. He hits that three. You're part of the team. The unlikely heroes, amen? I'm a part of this unlikely hero team. Because I didn't call myself. God called me. I didn't have this planned for me. And God has something incredible planned for you. See, whether we're looking at the church locally or globally, the entire church is created by God to work together as a team. It don't matter your color. It don't matter your background. It don't matter what social status that you have. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor. We're all part of the team. We're all part of God's family. Listen, we're going to worship in heaven together. We might as well start right now. Right now. All are welcome. So it says in verse 1, it says, we are all to use our spiritual abilities, spirit-empowered gifts, and all of our resources, all of our skills, all of our minds, all of our hearts, all of our hands and our feet to build up the whole body to accomplish what God has given us, a mission. Breaks down the simple. See, if we really all go on, all in, it's this simple. We do what God's created us to do. As a church body, it's this simple. It's going to change our mindset, church. You're not punching a clock on a Sunday. Got my thing done. You know, this ain't fire insurance. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as fire insurance in the kingdom of God. You're either all in or you're not. Our mindset shifts to this. Rather than focusing on our individual success or even our success of our local church, you're not even focused on the success of First Open Bible. We need to think about the greater work of His kingdom. We need to think about the kingdom of God more than we think about ourselves. We need to think about the kingdom of God more than we think about even First Open Bible. The kingdom of God, it's not about individual glory or honor. It's about and it's for Jesus. This is for Jesus. I don't need the glory, church. Oh, the pastor, man, he preached a great word. That's, yeah, because God in me. It's not me. Oh, man, they had a great outing. Oh, the outreach team did an awesome time. Yeah, it's God in them. Oh, the children's ministry is blowing up. We got so many kids, we had to knock down a wall and a room to create more room. It's God in them. First Open Bible, we don't need this glory either. I got to go from being Michael Jordan. Listen, I got to go from being Michael Jordan to being Coach Phil Jackson. Pastor Cody, he's got to go from being Scottie Pippen to being Steve Kerr. But there ain't nobody going to be Dennis Rodman. Ain't nobody. People in here never watch basketball like, what is he talking about? His nickname is The Worm. You don't even have to look that up. Just think about that. But seriously, church, so many times we think the mentality is that I got to be Michael Jordan and then you have Scottie Pippen here. But guess what? In the body of Christ, I should be Coach Phil Jackson. Y'all Michael Jordan. Get that? If you don't, I got more to preach. Got to think about the kingdom of God. We cannot stop telling God that we're all in. See, a lot of people stop telling God that they're all in once they give Him their heart and their mind and their soul and they're just serving Him and they love Him. But Jesus goes on to tell us that it's not only that, but there's another commandment that we have to go all in for the kingdom of God by being involved in the body of Christ, loving on other people. You're not meant to serve God by yourself. You're meant to serve God on a team. You're meant to serve God in a family, in a small group, in a church. We are better together. When this happens, we then will begin to see with a new perspective, a kingdom perspective of who we are and what winning really looks like. We stop using our individual gifts for ourselves and we use them for the glory of God to advance his kingdom. 1 Peter 4. Look that up. 1 Peter 4. 10-11 say this. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Next verse, 1 Peter 4, 11. Do you have a gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you not have a gift of helping others? Man, you can't read when you're crying. Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Does everybody have to be the mouth? This verse says no. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. We're a part of a mission that is bigger than any of us and that any of us can accomplish, no matter how gifted you may be. I think that's why American churches are starting to fail in a lot of areas. We don't work as a team. Many churches don't even have enough players on their team, so what do they do when game time happens? They forfeit. I'm sorry, you needed five, you only have four, you're going to have to forfeit. Being all in is being kingdom-minded. When you read in the Bible and it says this, I want you to think about this for a second. The kingdom of God. When it says the kingdom of God, think about this. Our church. Emmanuel Baptist. First Assembly. Lifeline Ministry, my friend, Pastor Tim Pridgen. Mount Zion. St. Patrick's Catholic Church. Veritas. A small 25-member rural church right outside our city. Willow Creek in Illinois, Life Church in Oklahoma, Evelation Church in North Carolina, the Underground Church in China, the largest church in the world to the smallest home church in the world, and so on. The kingdom of God. Kingdom mindset. There's three people in our church right now that are in India. And are they representing necessarily, hey, I came here because I have a word for you, because I'm from First Open Bible in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. No, I came here because I'm a part of the body and Jesus lives in me. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. Rise up and walk. By the power and the blood of Jesus, demons, go to them pigs right there and then go drown yourselves. Because I belong to First Open Bible. Hallelujah. Right? No, church, kingdom mindset. We are better together. Yes, you got to be a part of a family. You must be grounded. Plant your roots somewhere. Find a heartbeat of a church that you can really get along with. We here at First Open Bible, we want to be grounded in the Word. We want to be growing in discipleship. And then we want to be going to serve. That is our mission here. And what is our verse? It's the Great Commission. We don't need a fancy verse. Jesus already said do something. It hasn't been done, so I don't need a new one, right? You don't need a new one. We have to go and do what God has called us to do. And that's what we are a part of here. But when it's all said and done, it's for his glory. It is for his kingdom. And I can work with my friend, Pastor Daniel, here at a Baptist church. I can work with him. I can work with Catholics down the street that I don't even know. I can work with them because they love Jesus. They're a part of the body because one day I'm going to be worshiping with them. So I can work together. We have the same goal, that the lost must know Christ. Jesus was getting at something when he said this in Matthew chapter 6, the first part of verse 33, when he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Jesus is drawing our attention to what matters most. The work of the kingdom, multiplication of souls, ministry in every aspect, and the preaching of the good news through words and through actions. Coming to an end, church. Hope you're picking up what God's laying down this morning. Jesus tells us through the parables about the kingdom of God. There's a few, but here's just two of them. Like seeds in Mark 4. The kingdom of God is like seeds, Mark 4, 26 through 34. Or it's like yeast in Matthew 13, 33. And in this verse he says, he told them, still another parable, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it into 60 pounds of flour until it worked all the way through the dough. Because when Jesus, when God seeks and the kingdom of God is there, there is more than just our kingdom. His power and his purposes are revealed to us, and it works completely through us. Every true movement of the Holy Spirit begins with the heart change in a leader, and then in the local church. Right? It just doesn't just happen out of nowhere. It has to happen from the leadership down. Church, we have to change our mindset. The heart change will happen when we go all in and we learn to take the spotlight off ourselves. And when we do that, we will shape a new and whole generation of believers. They've seen the mega churches. They've seen sometimes it's a show, but have they seen the true power of God where a man steps out of the way and God does something when a church comes together? Listen, have they seen this? Three people over here. There's somebody that needs something in their life right now. Can you three people just go and come speak to them, right? And then you over here who have extra finances, this person needs some a rent paid. Can you help them out? This person over here, you're a man of faith and you believe, and right now there's something bad going on in this family. You just go and you pray for them, and by the faith and the gift that God has given you. And then over here, we believe in healing, right? And there's all kinds of, somebody needs some legs in the back. Come on, John. People of faith, you're the body. I'm Coach Phil Jackson. I don't have to be Michael Jordan all the time. It's your turn to be Michael Jordan. Here's the rock. Get out there, win it for the team. Come on. See, that's what the church body, that is what people need in their life. That is the kingdom of God, that people go out and buy their gifts. They do it not for their own glory, but for God's glory, and they work together as a team. And when we do that all together, we win. With God, I'm now starting to develop this mindset that says this: great leaders understand that the kingdom of God expands, not by our individual church seating capacity, but by our church's sending capacity. Someday this church, and very soon, I believe, because we've been growing, that we will have to knock this wall out, maybe this wall, and see what happens, and we'll have to extend that. But guess what? The kingdom of God expands not only in that way. The kingdom of God wants us to be a sending church. What does it look like to go sending? That means you come to church and you get built up. That means you get in your quiet time with God and that you get built up, and then you go to school. Right? You go to work. You go to the neighborhood. And you go out and you're sent by the gifts that God has given you, and you preach the good news that way. And you team up with other people and you win. That's how Jesus wants to win. See, my prayer is going from Lord, please grow our church, to Father, please multiply our church. Here we are. Send us. Send us. If we do this and we go all in, Jesus' mission would be accomplished at an incredibly different level of productivity that we've never seen before. Most churches, 20% of the church actually tithes. It is said that if every church, everyone who attended and called that their home, tithed, there would be no such thing as world hunger. We'd be able to do what we've been called to do. And we wouldn't just do it with the 2, 3, 4, 5 people on staff. You would say, I'm going to use my vacation and I'm going to go to Haiti and I'm going to feed some people. Not only that, I'm going to feed some people because we have such plentiful harvest here at our church that is no problem that we can ship all kinds of freight their way. And we're going to do it not in the name of First Open Bible, but in the name of Jesus. We're going to win, church. We're going to win. Win for His kingdom's sake. We do it by going all in. And when we do that, there's an incredible rate. We have a few people on staff here. Can you just imagine if God said, okay, I want you to go to the neighbors, and I want you to go preach the good news by just saying that Jesus loves them. And if they invite you in, to go in and speak to them. Now me, I could ask my staff to do that because I'm their boss and I can kind of do that. And that's what you're doing today. We're not going to answer phones and we're going to go do this because God said do it. But imagine. So 5 people could go do that. 5, 6 people. But imagine. See, normally we have 250, 260 people in here. Imagine if 250 or 260 people went and did what God was called us to do. See, it's not about addition in the kingdom of God. It's about multiplication. Come on, team. Come on, team. Pastor, I can't talk. You read a verse that some people are gifted with talking. That's fine. It didn't say only the talkers are going to be the ones that are a part of this whole thing, right? You have a gift to help? Help us in this avenue. Help us over here. You have a gift for this? You're artistic? You're this or that? You're creative? Well, what is God asking of you? See, we got to choose whose kingdom we're going to serve. Our priorities are going to shift. Worship team, can you come forward, please? Our priorities will shift. The lost will be our heartbeat. Making disciples will be a big part of our life. Servanthood will be second nature. When's the last time in your life servanthood was second nature? You see a need and you just step right in. You don't even ask questions. You don't say, oh, I don't know if that's for me or not. No, I'm in. Hey, what do you need? And living a life of faith is the only way we will know how to live. I don't know how to live any other way but to live by faith. I don't know what it's like to live by sight all the time. God tells me to do something, and then I do it. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm not supposed to always know. Church, I'm ready to run the race to receive the prize. I'm ready to win the championship. Today, right now, God is building a team. Today, can I have all eyes on me, please? Today, God is building a team. Kingdom-minded team of all-in followers, soul-winning, disciple-making, generous, sacrificial, spirit-filled followers of Christ for this body at First Open Bible for His kingdom. God is building a team. Are you in? Are you all in? Remember my prayer for this sermon? I believe many in here today had an all-in moment during this message. Stir in your heart. Reminding you of the gifts that you have, the things that you've shoved down because you think that you're different and weird. Yeah, guess what? Unlikely heroes are ones used by God. You have those gifts and talents because God wants you to use it for His glory. You are different than me. You're different than Pastor Cody. You're different than Brett. You're different than Pastor Stevens. You're different than all these people. On purpose. If you believe God has called you, right? Don't just go by the feelings. If you believe that God has truly called you to either help or to lead in a specific ministry, or you know God has stirred your heart so much that you must do something to be all in for God, and God's doing here at First Open Bible and you said, I'm going to be a part of it. If that's you, will you please stand? If it's not, don't feel bad. You want to be a part of this. In Acts chapter 13, in verses 2 and 3, the church laid hands on these two guys. And when that happened, they sent them out. They anointed them. They prayed for them to do what God has called them to do. So guess what I want to do? I love following the Bible. Nothing special about me, but God has asked me to be coach. How do I know that? I don't want to just say things. I want to speak it out of the Word of God. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Now these gifts, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostle, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility, you ever wonder what my responsibility is? It's to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. I want to follow Jesus. I want to listen to what He's saying, but God needs a team here at First Open Bible. I hate the saying, but it's true. Usually, church, we have a really giving church here, servant hearted church, but that 20% of the church does 80% of the work. It's not kingdom minded. It's not part of a team. Team needs you. I need you. God needs you. No more bench warmers, amen? Pass you the rock. That's you today and you feel called. God is going to use you in this time in your life here at First Open Bible to do a ministry that God has called you to do with your specific talents. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't you just go off and doing things. It's got to line up and go through the avenues of the leadership. I want to read something I forgot to say. I want to tell you our main responsibility, Pastor Cody, me, and the leadership. I believe one of the greatest responsibilities for the leadership here on this team is to help you find your identity in Christ. So you can find your unique calling, so we can help release you to pour into other lives. Why do I want that to happen? Because that is what Jesus did. He helped others go all in for the kingdom of God. He raised up a team that changed the world. God, may you raise up a team to change Iowa. The leadership here wants to encourage you. We want to help empower you, and we want to work with you. We do. That's you today. Will you come forward? Don't you be shy. If you're standing, you better come up. You already said that's you. You want to be a part of this? Come forward if you're standing. All in. I want to pray over you. Good night. It's going to take a while. Okay. I think this is very, very important. When God gave me this word, He told me there's going to be a shift. There's a shift here at First Open Bible. There's a shift. Thank you, God. You lower lights, please. not going to be able to lay hands on all of you, but will you, if there's anybody that you're next to, will you hold hands with them right now? Teammates? Don't nobody not holding a hand. You all need to be connected somehow. Please. But you're all connected. Two are not connected to the body. I just want to pray for you. Or Paul and Barnabas went out, they laid hands on them and they sent them. There's something about the impartation of a calling. And my prayer is a lot of you go, I don't know exactly what to do. It's okay. Some of you know exactly what to do and you want to be a part of it. What you need to do now is ask God what it is that He's called you to do. And then you need to talk to the leadership here and how that can happen. Now, it might not look exactly how you think it's going to look, because right now there's a lot of people that want to get involved. And very soon, we're going to need all hands on deck. We're going to need a giant team, right? This looks more like a football team. I should have used a football analogy. God has a calling on your life. There's a purpose for you. You have gifts and talents that God wants to use you. You will not waste your life. The kingdom of God will speak through you. Your hands will be used for God. Your talents will be used for God. And God is going to do an amazing work. And you're going to see miracles before your very own eyes. Because in the last days, He's pouring out His Spirit on the church. You don't come up here with your own strength. But you do come up with your own heart and you say, I'm all in. Father, we are all in. We love You. And God, I ask that this very moment, all the people that have dedicated their hearts to You and said, I need to serve the kingdom of God in a new capacity. Lord, I want to be a part of First Open Bible. I want to see the kingdom come forth, Lord. I want to give of my resources, my finances, my talents, my time. Lord, if there's anything in me that I can give, let me give it, God. I want to be a part of this. I want to see amazing things happen. God, I ask that You put me in this position. May You help me to make the right decisions with the right people at the right time. Like Coach Phil Jackson, he drew up that play. And they won. Lord, help me draw up a play so we can win. Lord, I don't need to know all the steps, but I want to know Your very next step. And Lord, as I lay hands on a few people here, as they're connected as one, I just pray that they feel the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. May You commission them to go and to be empowered by the gifts that You've given them. May You just pour out Your Spirit. May You give them dreams and hopes and aspirations. I can't wait till we have so many phone calls and so many ideas that, God, we're just going to have to pick a few. God, that the things are going to just explode here at First Open Bible. And it's not for our glory. It's for Your glory, God. May Your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. We love You and we thank You, God. I just pray for these people right now, God, each and every one of them. May You touch them in Jesus' mighty name. Give them a power and an anointing. Give them dreams and aspirations. Give them a heart for You, Lord. That it's all about what You want to do. Thank You for the gifts and their talents. May You bless them now. And Lord, as we sing this song, may this not just be another time of worship together, but Lord, a commissioning. There is a shift in the atmosphere. Shift in the atmosphere. In Jesus' name, God. I thank You for the many minds in here that You're going to use it for Your kingdom. I thank You for the many resources and the love that people have for one another, God, and their servant hearts. God, may You just go right now. Go right now and speak to them like we sang before. Just one word, just one touch. Just one word and one touch. We love You. God, we are all in. We are all in. We are all in. Will You say that? I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all in. Hey, God, I did what You said to do. I did what you said to do. Your turn. God, take over. Take over. Take over. Thank you. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. As we sing this last song, before you go, just lay that down to God right now. Just lay down whatever it is He's given you. There, this is a sea of believers. This is a sea of a team that is going to win for the kingdom of God. Just ask Him what that next thing is. Amen. Will you lead us?